Welcome back to the lab. Sources have been removed from this recording for compatibility with listening. Visit quantumdisciple.com to view the sources in detail. To the investigator of the post-resurrection environment, the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth was not merely a localized execution in a remote Roman province. It was a catastrophic system event that triggered a series of documented anomalies. For the modern skeptic, the claims of darkness at noon, geological upheaval, and the dead rising from their graves are often dismissed as corrupted data or mythological bloatware. However, the source code, which is the scriptures, and the historical logs, which are outside accounts, suggest that these events were public, witnessed, and directly linked to specific time-stamped predictions made by the subject. The objective of this audit is to examine the anomaly protocol surrounding the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are not here to spiritualize these events into metaphors. We are here to investigate the physical anomalies that occurred at the moment of the system shutdown. We must first establish that his predictions were not hidden knowledge, but were part of the public domain. The source code records that the religious leaders and even members of the crowd knew Jesus had made time-stamped claims about the temple and a three-day timeline. Listen to this record, quote, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. But the temple he had spoken of was his body, end quote. This shows the prediction was made publicly early in his ministry and was later correctly interpreted by the disciples. It preempts the skeptic's objection that the 3 days claim was retrofitted after the fact. Pilate himself deployed a guard unit precisely because of this prediction. Later in this audit, we will cross-reference these logs with secular historians who record a period of darkness and seismic activity during the reign of Tiberius. These are external data points that align with the gospel timeline. If the architect entered the system and then overrode the laws of entropy and death, we should expect to find a massive data trail. We will audit the most startling anomaly recorded in the logs, the resurrection of the saints. The text reads, quote, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life, end quote. This is the anomaly protocol. We will use logic, the source code, and authoritative historical evidence to determine the defensibility of these claims. We will align with what the Bible says, not what we wish it said. Let us begin the audit, section 1.0. The system shutdown, the crucifixion phenomena. The objective here is clear. Before the reboot, which is the resurrection, the system registered a critical failure at the moment of the architect's death. We audit the environmental logs to determine if these were random weather events or a coordinated hardware response. Section 1.1, the solar log or the darkness. Consider this data point. Quote, it was now about noon and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. End quote. Now look at the prophetic source code. Quote, in that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. End quote. Here is the logic. The log specifies a 3-hour duration from noon until 3. This rules out a solar eclipse, which lasts only minutes and is astronomically impossible during Passover as that occurs during a full moon. The prophetic log transforms the darkness from a random anomaly to predicted system behavior. The phrase stating the sun stopped shining suggests a hardware-level suspension of the primary light source. It was a system blackout signaling the death of the light of the world. Section 1.2, the temple log or the curtain. Here's the data point, quote, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, end quote. The logic reveals something fascinating. historical sources describe the temple curtain as approximately 60 feet high. A tier initiating from top to bottom at that height is physically inaccessible from ground level. This is not vandalism. It is an external override. The scriptures explicitly link this torn curtain to the torn body of Jesus. Quote, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body." End quote. This indicates that the access restrictions to the Holy of Holies were removed at the exact moment of death. Section 2.0, the preview batch, the rising of the saints. The objective now brings us to the most contested data point. We will audit the resurrection of the saints not as a horror movie trope, but as a theological preview build of the final resurrection. Section 2.1, the data log of the event. Consider these data points. Quote, "The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open." End quote. Quote, "The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people." End quote. Here is the logic. The tombs broke open at the moment of his death on Friday, while the saints came out of the tombs after his resurrection on Sunday. Mapping this to the weekly calendar is a reasonable inference. The term used for holy people is the standard term for covenant people. Furthermore, the log does not name these individuals. A fabricator optimizing for persuasion would likely invoke famous patriarchs like Abraham, David, or Elijah. The anonymity functions as a marker of historical embarrassment. This reads like an authentic field report, not a crafted press release. Section 2.2, the sequencing protocol or first fruits. Look at the theological source code. Quote, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." End quote. Quote, "He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." End quote. The logic shows the hardware prep earthquake compromised the tombs on Friday. However, activation occurred only after the prime architect rebooted on Sunday, maintaining his status as the firstborn. Seeding Jerusalem, the primary network hub, with this early anomaly data validated the mission's success before the global rollout. Section 2.3, epistemic humility, the limits of the log. We must distinguish this from the resurrection of Lazarus. While the function of these saints as signposts is clear, the log is silent on their final destination. Any claim beyond their appearance in the city is pure speculation. Part 2, Section 3.0, the security patch, the cover-up protocol. Our objective is to audit the administrative reaction. If the resurrection were a myth, the authorities would simply produce the body. Instead, the source code records a frantic attempt to patch a massive security breach. Section 3.1, the preemptive firewall or the guard. Listen to this data point. Quote, "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again. This last deception will be worse than the first.'" End quote. The logic dictates that the phrase calling this last deception worse than the first shows the leaders viewed a resurrection claim as a system-level threat. They established a physical firewall using the stone and a human firewall using the guard, specifically to prevent a stolen body scenario. Section 3.2, the malicious script or the bribe. Consider this data point. Quote, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." End quote. The logic here contains the sleeping witness paradox. If the guards were asleep, they could not identify the thieves. As established in previous audits, moving a heavy stone weighing over a ton creates a significant acoustic and vibrational signature. the claim that disciples executed a silent extraction while guards slept through both the noise and the earthquake fails the physics audit. The source code confirms that failed custody was a capital offense for Roman soldiers. After Peter's escape in another account, Herod cross-examined the guards and ordered their execution. The Philippian jailer was about to kill himself when he thought his prisoners had escaped. In this severe environment, no Roman guard confesses to sleeping on duty without a guaranteed legal shield. Section 4.0. The software reboot, the disciples' transformation. We now audit the software running on the primary user nodes, the disciples. On Friday, their operating system had crashed due to fear. By Pentecost, they were running a completely new algorithm characterized by boldness. Section 4.1. The system crash or the cowardice. Look at these data points. Quote, then all the disciples deserted him and fled, end quote. Quote, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, end quote. The logic shows this is the baseline state. They were not hallucinating victory. They were processing defeat and hiding to avoid deletion. Section 4.2, the system reboot or the appearances. Listen to these data points. Quote, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. End quote. Quote, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. End quote. Here is the logic. The architect does not demand blind execution of the new code. He enters debug mode, offering nail print metadata and side wound access to verify that the risen subject is identical to the crucified subject. Thomas's confession marks the successful initialization of his node. Hallucinations do not share food or offer hard data verification. The architect is interacting with the system's physical hardware through sight, touch, and shared meals, not merely manipulating the user's optics. Section 4.3, the martyrdom log or the stress test. During the audit, we recognize that users may die for a lie they believe is true, but they do not die for a lie they know is a fabrication. If the disciples had stolen the body, they would have known the resurrection was a signal spoof. The precise details of each apostle's death are drawn from early church historians. While individual accounts can be debated, the consistent pattern across multiple independent sources is that the core witnesses were willing to suffer and die rather than recant. Section 5.0. The system reboot, the resurrection encounters. The objective is to audit the reboot sequence. This is the transition from terrified fugitives to bold witnesses via direct interaction with the risen architect. Section 5.1, the angelic bypass, the hardware override. Consider this data point. Quote, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it, end quote. And another, quote, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God, end quote. The logic reveals that Roman executioners are professional skeptics. Their job is to kill efficiently, not to convert. The fact that a centurion interprets the combined anomalies as a divine signature serves as a hostile witness log. This is powerful evidence from a non-sympathetic third party. Furthermore, the architect is not constrained by locked doors. The stone is moved not to let him out, but to let the audit team in. Section 5.2, the verification logs or postmortem appearances. Look at these data points. Quote, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. End quote. Quote, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. End quote. The logic is compelling. James was not a believer during Jesus' ministry. His conversion from skeptic to leader of the Jerusalem church and his eventual martyrdom requires an explanation. The source code provides one, a personal appearance from the risen architect, Paul's phrase noting that most witnesses were still living is a direct forensic challenge. He is essentially saying, go ask them yourself. This is not the language of myth-making. It is the language of a man confident his claim can survive cross-examination. Section 5.3, the resurrection engine or the transformation. The logic ties the first fruits protocol, the primary node of Jesus, and the preview batch of saints into one cohesive system upgrade. The same resurrection engine is scheduled to give life to our mortal bodies. This is not a superficial software skin. It is an ontological upgrade, moving from an earthly hardware state to a heavenly architecture. Part 3, Section 6.0, the final audit, the verdict. The objective here is to conclude the line item audit of the anomaly protocol. We must now run a final consistency check to determine if the resurrection is a fatal error in history or the primary feature of the system. Section 6.1, the consolidated log, a summary of findings. A valid hypothesis must explain all three layers of the data stack simultaneously. Layer 1 is the hardware log, representing the environment. The tomb was physically empty, the stone was moved, and the grave clothes were left in an orderly extraction state. The logic shows the empty tomb is a forensic artifact, not just a necessary condition for resurrection. The orderly extraction state of the linens, combined with no recorded arrest of disciples at the tomb, is completely incompatible with a stealth smash and grab under the watch of a professional guard unit. Layer 2 is the administrative log, representing the reaction. The authorities did not produce the body to debunk the claim. Instead, they deployed a malicious script through a bribe and provided a legal shield for the guards. The logic indicates the leaders explicitly labeled the resurrection claim as worse than the first. They recognized it as a system-level threat. Layer 3 is the software log representing the transformation. The user nodes, which are the disciples, shifted instantly from a crash state of fear and denial to full execution, resulting in boldness and martyrdom. The logic reveals the core users initially classified resurrection reports as complete nonsense. They were not primed for a victory hallucination. They were deep in a crash and rejection state. Section 6.2, the rival hypotheses, the stress test. We must subject the alternative explanations to a stress test to see if they can handle the data load. Hypothesis A is the theft exploit, suggesting the disciples stole the body. The hardware failure point is that it requires thieves in a high-risk operation to unwrap a corpse and carefully leave the grave clothes, including a neatly placed headcloth in the tomb. This behavior is incompatible with a hurried nighttime robbery. The software failure point is that liars may recruit others to die, but they do not willingly die for what they personally know is a fabrication. The consistent historical pattern is that the core witnesses suffered and died rather than recant their testimony. Hypothesis B is the hallucination glitch, suggesting mass delusion. The hardware failure point is that hallucinations do not eat fish, nor do they leave an empty tomb. If the disciples were hallucinating, the authorities would simply have produced the body from the grave to patch the glitch. The software failure point is that hallucinations are, by nature, private software glitches. A synchronized multi-user encounter involving over 500 nodes at the exact same time is not a hallucination. It is a broadcast. Furthermore, their initial dismissal of the reports as nonsense reinforces that mass delusion is not a good fit for their mental state. Hypothesis C is the swoon theory, suggesting survival of the execution. The hardware failure point is that this contradicts the spear data confirming his death. The record states, quote, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water, end quote. The medical failure point is that Roman executioners were absolute professionals. The decision not to break his legs was a confirmation of death, not an oversight. Pilate independently verified the death with the centurion. This acts as a two-factor authentication of death. The blood and water description is widely recognized as consistent with a fatal chest wound, such as pericardial effusion, rather than a survivable injury. Section 6.3, the probability audit, Occam's razor. In systems analysis, the simplest explanation that accounts for all variables is usually the correct one. Consider the skeptic's burden. To deny the resurrection, one must believe in a cluster of massive improbabilities. You must believe that the guards slept, the disciples stole the body, the authorities permanently lost the body. Over 500 people had compatible, coordinated resurrection hallucinations, and the disciples died for a known lie, all simultaneously. Now consider the believer's burden. To accept the resurrection, one must accept a single variable, that the architect, who is God, has the permissions to override the system he created. If the God variable is true, the resurrection is not only possible, it is the expected output of a system restore. Look at the criterion of embarrassment. The raw logs preserve women as the first witnesses. This is a detail that would have been legally inadmissible in a first century Jewish court. The later legal registry lists only male witnesses, optimized for courtroom credibility. This tension argues for deep historical honesty. Furthermore, the logs preserve the repeated cowardice of the core leaders, including the disciples fleeing and Peter's three denials. A fabricated story optimized for persuasion would have completely scrubbed these liabilities. Section 6.4, the final verdict. The anomaly protocol is not a bug, it is a feature. The convergence of the hardware, administrative, and software logs provides a level of certainty that far exceeds the standard for historical verification. System status verified. Action required. At this point, the question is not whether the data is sufficient. It is whether the user will accept or reject the implications. The system will not force execution. It presents the command and awaits input. The user must now choose to either uninstall the data, thereby rejecting the evidence, or run the executable, thereby trusting the architect. Consider this final data point. Quote, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. End quote. The logic is simple. The system is live. The choice is yours. Thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe and visit quantumdisciple.com for more Christian research. Quantum Disciple out.